Christmas is almost upon us. And the whole idea from God's perspective is that Christmas is a declaration of peace. But peace from what? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and it's great to be back with you again. Today we're going to take a look at God's plan for Christmas from something of a different perspective. And please do stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our latest life application booklet. It's called The Best of 2020, and I'd love to send you a free copy to encourage you with the good things that God has planned. Have you ever had an argument with somebody? You know, somebody that you really care about. You do something stupid or inconsiderate or hurtful, and so the closeness that you once enjoyed is gone in an instant. It's replaced with a battle. It's an awful feeling. And then you go to them and apologize, and they just forgive you. And they hold you close, and the relationship is intact. In fact, it often ends up stronger than ever. That is a fantastic feeling. Peace. So when we rebelled against God, and we all have, God's way of opening the door was His declaration of peace. Jesus, that's what Christmas is, God's declaration of peace. Actually, God talks a lot about peace. It's in the Bible over 230 times. But you and I talk peace, and it's like the end of war, the end of hostility. But the Hebrew concept of peace, shalom, is not just a cessation of hostility. It's something much more. It's a sense of completeness. It's a sense of safety and soundness in our bodies. It's a sense of welfare and health and prosperity and peace and quiet and tranquility and contentment and friendship. Shalom. Peace is that wonderful state of saying, you know something, I have a wonderful life. It's safe, it's blessed, it's abundant, it's full of wonderful relationships with people and with God. So many times Jesus says to people whom he helped and he healed, go in peace. Jesus says, shalom. The heart of God is for us to have that sort of peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. I've tried in my life to find peace in so many places. Peace in having a big house with gold-plated taps, you know. Peace in having a brand new wonderful car with that wonderful smell of new leather. Peace in having a career path and plan laid out for the rest of my life. Peace in having recognition and status with other people. Yet all of the time running away from God. I knew deep down, but I chased it everywhere else. And I'm an expert in looking for shalom. All the time hurting other people, all the time treading on them, all the time belittling them. I got some news for you. There's no shalom in any of those things. Zip, none. Why is that? Why is it we chase after those things and yet really, deep down, we know that there's no peace, there's no joy, there's no fulfillment, there's no satisfaction in those things? It's because you and I, incredibly, have been made in the image of God. We've been hardwired for a relationship with God in our DNA. And rebellion ain't where we're going to find it. God is so good. Open the window. Stick your head out. Have a look. Look at creation. Look at life. Every morning when I sit down to pray, I just think the sweetness of the air, just the ability to breathe in for another day and live another day of the life that God planned for me. I've been in some of the poorest and darkest places on this planet, some awful places. And everywhere you go, you can't help it. Somehow, somewhere, you discover the goodness of God, no matter how awful people are to one another. God created humanity, and he put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and we've made such a mess of it. We've hurt people, we've abused people, we've killed people, we've poured, belched smog and pollution into the world. But God is still God. He still yearns for you and me. He's still aching for us to find him and to know him. Doesn't matter what we've done to the world. Doesn't matter what we've done to each other. Doesn't change God. God is still God. God still aches for us. It's interesting, over the last few days on the program, we've been looking at the early chapters of the book of Ezekiel. It's a book of the Old Testament. Ezekiel was a prophet, and it was at a time when Israel had been exiled by the Babylonians. You know, God had brought Israel into the promised land, into Jerusalem, into the land that he'd given them, and yet they rejected him. So God allowed many of them to be killed. He allowed Jerusalem to be burned to the ground. He allowed the temple to be destroyed. He departed from his people, and those that were left became slaves in Babylon. It was God's punishment for their rebellion. And that's what we deserve. It's certainly what I deserve. I look back on my life, I think, I've done so many bad things. I'm not a chainsaw massacrist, but you know what I mean? We've done so many bad things. It's what we deserve. And Christmas is when God cries, enough! Christmas, on that clear, still night, a baby, Yeshua, Jesus, God's salvation, a cry pierced the air. It was the cry of God. Enough! Christmas is the day when we remember that God stepped into our quagmire, into our dung heap, into the mess that you and I have made of things. Christmas is the day when God, through his Son, whispers into our hearts, Shalom, peace. Why does the world find it so hard to accept this gift? Why do we take a love so pure, so simple, so wonderful, so generous and ignore it, misunderstand it, pretend it's not for us? Christmas is first and foremost God showing his love. It's a declaration of peace, a cessation of hostilities. It's God's declaration of peace. The question is, have you embraced that? I mean, really, with your life, with every fibre of your being, with everything that you are, with your heart and with your soul. Because without that, there can be no shalom. Without that, there can be no peace. Maybe you've never done that. I'm going to pray a prayer right now. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Saviour, why don't you pray this with me? Father, I know that I've made so many mistakes in my life. I'm sorry for all of them. I just turn away from them now, and I ask you for your forgiveness because I believe that Jesus died for me, that he came to this earth as a man to be here, to show me what you're like, to go to the cross, to die for my sins, to pay the price, and to rise again. Father, today I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Saviour, and I know that you have forgiven me my sin. Father, put your Holy Spirit in me. Change me. Make me new. Give me a new life and a new start, and show me how to live my life for you. I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, can I really encourage you not to leave it there? Can I encourage you to find a church somewhere near you of people who believe in Jesus like you do, of people who read the Bible, of people who worship God? Go and become a part of that family and grow in your relationship with him. Christmas is when God gave us that very first present, his Son. What an awesome Christmas present if you've just given your life to him. God bless you. Been a big year this year, one that none of us could ever, ever have predicted. So many people have suffered loss. Fear and uncertainty have filled many a person's heart, which is why it's so important for us all right now to receive the powerful truth of God's love into our hearts. Amen. And that's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called The Best of 2020, and it's based on some of this year's most popular, most responded to messages that have gone to air. To request your free copy, visit ChristianityWorks.com and you'll see that free offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on the offer, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Hey, thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.